The following podcast is a live recording of a radio show first broadcast by Fresh FM with assistance from New Zealand On Air.
Kia ora. You're listening to Fresh FM. My name's Jo. The show is called Loud and Queer. It is an LGBTQIA+ music radio show, but music by us and for us. I've got new music for you. I've got a guest in the studio who I'll be talking to after I get through some songs. I'm going to be speaking with local visual artist Christopher Olutupu about a really cool musical project. And first up, I'm going to play a brand new one from Jenny. This is called Line 19. You're listening to Loud and Queer.
Fading in was never easy for me. Oh, 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 oh,
That was the brand new Kalala, came out last week. It is called Point Blank, and Kalala has a new album coming out on the 10th of July. It's called New Avatar, and I've played the other two songs that have been released off of that so far. I can't stop playing you any new thing because I can't wait for this album. That particular track feels like it is harking back to the production of her earlier stuff, which I'm super excited. I'm very excited. I'm a nerd. I also played before that the new one from Whangarei musician Jani called Line 19 off of an EP called Kumara Suite. You should have a listen. It's cool. I have Christopher Olatupu in the studio with me right now. Chris is of Samoan and Niuean heritage and is a visual artist based here in Whakatū and has a new music project called Le Whaili, and it's on Boosted, so you can help fundraise to create the final version of this. Welcome. Kia ora.
Kia ora.
Tell us a bit about this project and how it came to be.
Yeah, I guess it was this project, Le Whaili, all started off with a story about my dad. So he was a missionary. He joined the LMS, the London Missionary Service, and left Samoa, I think, when he was a young age, around 15 or 16. And travelled to Hong Kong, where he was, with a whole group of people from the islands and other young people, and they're spreading the word of God, I guess, at that time. And one of their jobs was to try and smuggle Bibles into China. And which is highly illegal, I think. It's even I think you could get into serious trouble. I think you could get charged with treason even. So They try to enter through Beijing, and this is around the 70s, I think, end of the 70s, beginning of the 80s, and then they had to come up with like a cover of a reason why they were going to visit China, and so they come up with this fake band under this cover of this island band where they perform kind of pan-Pacific music to a whole bunch of Chinese audiences. And so that was their cover. So they crossed borders and smuggled these Bibles and would host these gigs as this like cultural exchange. But then they were totally made up. And the thing that makes me laugh the most about this story is that, no offense to my father, but he can't really sing, but he was the lead singer in this band. So I have this picture of all these Chinese people sitting there going, is this island music? And I was like, it's just a funny thing to think about and picture. And so I thought about this, like, this idea of a fake band, and it's throughout my artistic practice, I kind of have been moments where I've had this idea pop up here and again. And so I decided that I wanted to move to Nelson, move to Whakatū, and start this archive project, because it made me also think about the fact that I want to know more stories and want to know more about that story. And there's a whole bunch of stories about my whānau that I wanted to kind of like record and put down and turn into something. And then I decided, actually, you know, what can an archive do for my family, for my community? And I started thinking, actually, I kind of want to turn into music, specifically kind of power ballads and club music.
Because you usually work in video, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that's a lot of my practice is kind of video and performance.
Yes.
So that's my natural go-to. And that's come from, I guess, my background. So I've worked mainly in film for a long time as an art director or working within the art department. And my practice was in response to that. And I've always been kind of exploring alternative modes of storytelling. And so this project is kind of a continuation of that. Yeah.
So these songs, did they already exist or have you written them?
No, they're all new.
Original.
Original. Yeah. So what I'd done, I'd selected 8 stories from the archive that I had made, and kind of brought in a whole bunch of musicians. So,
who's on your team?
My team. So I've got Moana Ete, who is so talented, has got so many hats on her head. So she's a director, actor, also in a band called Mo Etc. And she's also a long-term collaborator on a lot of my video projects and my art practice, and a long-term friend who I went to Toi Whakaari with as well, where I had studied. And then I've got Kane Lang, who is also a long-term friend and collaborator, who is also multi-talented. Visual artist, curator, and is also working for so many different artists, including myself. and used to own a gallery in Wellington called Drive Through. And so he's come on board to project manage and also play guitar. and then I have Jono Knott from, who's from Waito. Originally, and is part of Broods, and he and Ono Ono, the band. And so he's kind of our tech wizard kind of guy who helps put everything together. And then I have Helen, who's here as well, Helen Smith, and my mum, Lilia Smith. And so they've come on board as kind of like advisors and people to help with the storytelling and the lyrics and making sure everything is clearer and makes sense and things like that.
Yeah, lovely. I noticed in the boosted description that Helen's role is making sure that there's more queerness in the songs.
Yeah, that's so true. Well, I just feel like we're like, how do we make it more camp?
And then
it's kind of one of the directives. Because I feel like there's, and I speak about a lot of this in some of my work actually, is like there's a lot of, there's island camp as well as just campiness. And I think sometimes they're not as different, but there's something, it's a very specific flavor. So I was like, we need to like come in and like make it more dramatic, make it more, you know, louder or colorful. And it's nice to have Helen come in and help me with that a little bit, add a bit of flair. No, but I think that's, as queer people, I think we're naturally dramatic.
I don't know what really queerness means, but.
But I think that's part of it. It's like, add a bit of more flair, you know?
That island queerness.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Shall we have a listen to one of them?
Yeah. Maybe Heartbreak in a Teacup?
Thank you.
That was Heartbreak in a Teacup from the upcoming Le Faili album. I have Christopher Olatupu and Helen Smith in the studio with me now, who are working on fundraising to complete this album. I would really love to hear the story behind Heartbreak in a Teacup.
Yeah, it, so it's actually, it was about my parents' breakup, actually, and looking at it as an interesting moment of learning for not just them, but I guess the wider community and myself. And so it spoke about where my parents broke up, and my mum used to make cups of tea for my dad and all the time, and that's kind of their normal relationship. And when they're in Australia, they were there to move and start a new life, and my whole family went over, except for I stayed back here in Aotearoa. And so much had happened, you know, between them. And my one morning, she went to go make my dad a cup of tea, and she started crying, and she couldn't stop crying. And so she kind of realized that the 30 years they had been together, he had not once made her a cup of tea. And it broke her heart. And this was talked about during like this writing workshop that we did, and saw the significance of that act. And, you know, sometimes it's not these are bigger, larger things, and sometimes it's the smaller things within your life. And I thought it was so beautiful when she talked about that. And so we, and that day she asked me to help her pay for tickets, and then flew my whole family and left my dad in Australia and moved back to Aotearoa. And was like, that was enough for her to kind of go, that's it. That's enough.
You know? Your mama.
I know, and it's such a powerful symbol. And so the song, we were putting it together. I extracted some of the story and put a, and we came out with some of the lyrics, and I really wanted it to be this kind of light, fun, kind of melodic song. And when we're putting it together, I remember my mom turning to me like, hey, is it okay we're telling the story? And I was like, yeah. You know, like, I think she was just a little bit nervous. Like, it's so a lot of these things are really personal, these songs, but from the outside, if you're listening to it, yeah, it's not fully present there, but it is there. It's like a undercurrent of the, and so the structure of the song I thought would be really fun is this like call and response. So there are two dual singers, and one saying, you know, you don't listen to me, and the other one saying, you know, I'm sorry, and da 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 da, and we also were laughing about in one of the workshops. Me and Mo found out the word in Psalm 1 for Los Angeles, and it's Losa Angalesi, and we're like, we've got to find a way to put that in the song. Like, how do we work it? And so there was a lot of playfulness, and then that came to it. And when I was talking to the musicians at the end of, they were just so surprised at how fast we made these demos, because like, we actually did the workshop at Victory School in their hall, and it was for a week, and we made 8 songs.
Wow.
And I did...
That is so fast.
I just prompted them. I was like, okay, you've got 5 minutes, make me a beat. You've got 5 minutes, do a guitar riff for this. And
so you were directing, you were like, I want this vibe.
Yeah.
Here's the lyrics, here's the vibe. Let's make this together, or...
Well, I just kind of was like, here's the story.
Yeah.
Here are some, I extracted some of the words from it and translated Psalm 1 and the meanings behind it. And then I was like, try and make something with this. And this is the genre I'm giving you. And so those, but I'm so used to doing that in the kind of theatrical visual arts world. And so it was really good for musicians. They said it was like, oh, and then all of a sudden we just made it.
Yeah. You know, creative restraints.
Yeah. And for them, I guess they're within their own music practice, they have their own personas and genres and things that are within the realm of their music making. That's part of, I guess, their brand as well. Whereas with this, I kind of just gave them license to go do whatever and take it as, make it as campy as they want and as large and within the realms of the genre.
Did you record in the same week?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow.
So it was because amazing technician.
Yeah.
He's amazing.
He's amazing. So he brought this whole, I don't know, I don't understand what kind of gear it is, but we all had headphones and mics and were able to play and record at the same time and then listen back and then re-record things as we went. And yeah, it was, and it was so nice that we could just work really fast and have fun with it. I think that was what I wanted to do. I was like, I just want us to have lots of fun making it, because you know, if you think it's too much, it's probably just right. You know, and I was like, let's go hyper, like let's add the whatever we feel like the outrageous version of that is. Yeah, and we've kind of applied it to everything, all the songs. Yeah.
So the other song that you've brought in to play says it's inspired by your queer awakening as a teenager.
Oh, yeah. So we used to go picking apples and I need to acknowledge the project is split into two. Mm. So one side is the power ballads, and that's where Heartbreak in a Teacup is. And it's about heartbreak. It's about stories of I guess my family and ways they've experienced heartbreak here in Aotearoa. And then the other half, we call it A side, and then B side is the more kind of like hyper pop kind of club music that we've created that is in response to labor and jobs that migrant families do when they move here to Aotearoa, and this idea of like the stream. And so Piki Apu was about, we used to go picking apples, but then I remember I was like 14, 15, it'll be like, there'd be all these hot foreigners with their like tops off and it's real sweaty and, you know, like, and I'm just picking apples and my parents are like, get back to work, what are you looking at? And I'm just like, I'm looking at the birds, I think. But just like my little Pisces brain going, oh, just daydreaming about kissing these hot foreigners, you know, in the middle of an orchard.
Under the apple tree.
So romantic. You know? So it's about desire and it's about these like weird yearnings that you have.
Let's have a listen.
Oi, Sole. Tao, titi e palam. E o que?
Falam o atule musica mai lele tio. Tamata uma mo pepe se va ata si mai lele tio. Matatio ata si ilunga lo ato. A ilunga. Piki apu. Aisa. Vai aisa.
Ave se lo off I know.
Oka so aulele.
Fia kisi.
Aisa, vai aisa, le vai aisa, inu le vai aisa. Aisa, vai aisa, le vai aisa, inu le vai aisa.
That is Pikiapu by Le Faili, which is an upcoming album. That's a demo version. And while that song was playing, the three of us were in here, and it was mentioned that that might be the first song entirely in Samoan that is gay.
Yeah, I can neither confirm or deny. You know, you don't know what's happening.
Yeah.
And it's harder, I guess. Oh, you know, I just feel like there was a intent to make this whole album all in Samoan because, you know, that was the premise of like, I guess a little ode to the original kind of like Samoan love songs and the ones that I loved and my family love as well. And part of that was like, if I was to make Samoan songs about today, about kind of contemporary issues and things that I want to say, part of it is my queerness and about queer identity and I guess in Samoan culture and the Pacific wide as well. Because I feel like, yeah, I think I was sitting here, I was like, wait, are there other songs that are all in Samoan that are about queer love and desire?
No.
Yeah, it's, I don't know. Maybe that's something I need to look up. But yeah, part of me is like, I don't think I've ever heard anything else out there.
No, neither have I actually.
Yeah.
I think there is one.
Yeah. That's really...
No, there isn't.
Yeah.
I've never heard one.
Yeah. Maybe in English. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Definitely in English. I've heard some like, you know, from Whānau Spark, Solid... all those guys, but it's, I don't know, yeah.
It's so great that you are making this. Yeah,
it's like, kind of crazy.
Yeah, you sort of mentioned you expected like pearl clutching and...
Yeah, a little bit.
Yeah.
Because it's here to where hard to, not hard, it's like, I think for people to hear Samoan language spoken and talking about lusting, men lusting after each other's. Yeah, I don't know if I've heard that. And literally kissing. There's a whole dream sequence where we're...
All women.
Yeah, all women. And it's funny because it's me and my friend Kane. You know, my mum always says, well, Kane, you're Samoan now. Because you're singing Samoan on the track.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's just... Yeah, I just thought about that now. I was like, actually, I don't know. Is there? I don't know. Yeah, I'd have to. Maybe we could do a poll. But like,
yeah, let's put it out there. Find us the songs.
Find us some queer Samoan songs out there and send it to us.
Please. I want to hear them.
Yeah.
What else have you covered about queerness on the, is it the B-side?
I think it's throughout. I think it's hard to separate those things when you're like some of the songs are really slow and kind of like country and then like somehow we found a way to make it campy even if it's like country and like earnest, you know.
Threatening to do a queer country show, so if you've got a country song in there, I'm playing it.
Yeah. And I think that I think the querying comes from like the hyperness of like taking it to making it more and brighter, and I think that was the challenge, that I put to everyone, because I feel like there's time to have nuance, and sometimes,
and
we don't need it.
What are the next steps for the project?
Yeah, so we're wanting to do one more workshop, because we've got a couple more songs to work on, and then once we finish that, we want to do make sure we've got all the recordings and everything, all the instruments done, and then we're going to go away and get them produced. And a lot of that will take time and money in the studio to kind of like make it radio worthy. And then once we've done that, get it mastered as well. And then I'm hoping that we can press onto a vinyl.
Oh, fantastic.
The album, and then there's two kind of sides to it. So there's the vinyl aspect of it, and the distribution is something that we're in conversation about, and how we want to distribute it now. And now, you know, I've been saying this term like, oh, we're a fake band, but I think
you've become a
real band.
Yeah.
And so now everyone's like, oh, no, we're a band now. And
it's
like,
oh, wait, we're a band.
But I guess the interesting thing is, you know, what is my role and what is Helen's?
Yeah,
and you know, we don't play any of the instruments. We're just kind of there just like, and
you're both on it though. Like,
Yeah. We're like, we put a little like sound bites of us.
There's the one.
Yeah.
You said you were singing on one of them.
Yeah. I'm singing on some of them.
Yeah.
My mum's on some of them as well. Aww. But because we've played around with this idea of maybe doing one live show.
Oh my gosh, yes.
We're thinking, you know, because the genre is so varied and the stories are so varied, we're like, what would our look be, and what would our album cover look like? So we were thinking about all these things conceptually. What would our stage presence be like? And, you know, like this is endless opportunity to kind of like explore and, you know, experiment with every facet of this project, which is really exciting for all of us, I think. We're all kind of excited for what it could mean.
And how can people contribute to help this be realized and finished?
Well, the first, as you said before, we're doing a booster campaign, and I think that is our first step.
Yeah.
Because we need the poutier to put it together. So do it justice, because the other option of that is like we release as is. But I think we owe it to ourselves to really work with it and do a really good job. Because I think what we've produced has been magical, and we want to do it justice to everyone that's involved in the project and those who have supported. And so although, you know, me and Karen were laughing the other day, we're like, oh, because we're leading the booster project, we're kind of like the worst at social media you've ever met. I think my last post was probably like 2024 or 2023 even. And so, you know, like it's not within our forte to do this, but we know it's important because we really believe in the project and its power.
I'll be sharing the link if anyone wants to find out where they can donate.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then beyond that, once it's out, I think it's like at that point, it's just listen and have fun. Like initially when I proposed to do the project, I got some seed funding for it, and one of the outcomes was that I wanted to create songs that would that my family would party to. So that is the ultimate goal. That is the success. If my family are partying to it at their like drink-ups in the garage or parties. And then, you know, I want to get to a point where my family are like, oh, put on our song. And we put on our song and they're like,
and they like it, it's the one.
If they like it, if this community likes it, then it's a vibe. You know, it's successful in that way. It's within the lexicon of that community. And yeah, that's more important to me than the selling of it, I guess. Yeah.
Oh, I love that. Thank you so much, both of you, for coming in and talking to me about this. I can't wait to hear the finished product. Yes. And Chris has also got an exhibition on at the Suta until, I think, the 19th of July.
Yes.
Of video work that is so worth going and checking out as well. Thank you both so much.
Oh, thank you.
This is Duendita and this is called Super Sad. You're listening to Loud and Queer on Fresh FM.
Tennessee got diagnosed with OCD. Dreaming all the time, dreaming all the time. Dance with me in sunshine, dance with me before the drug on minds. Dance with me in sunshine, dance with me before the drug on minds. Dreaming to be out of sight, sitting there looking your eye. Do what you're told, can't leave us behind. We're just one of a kind. Chattanooga, dance with me in sunshine. Dance with me before they drug all minds. Dance with me in sunshine. Dance with me before they drug all minds. Thank you. With OCD, dreaming all the time, dreaming all the time.
That is the spectacular new track by Zoe Amber off of their new album Eyes Full. Just came out. It's so good. That track is called OCD. Well worth a listen to the rest of that album. Before that, I played Duendita, and you've been listening to Loud and Queer on Fresh FM for the past hour. Thank you so much for hanging out with me. Thank you to Christopher Lutupu and Helen Smith for coming in to talk to me about Lefaili. I will post the link to their Boosted campaign so you can donate and make the album a reality. A physical object. If you would like to get in touch, you can head to loudandqueer.nz. Please send me your songs. Send me songs you like by queer people that I might not have heard. I love to hear from you. This is community radio after all. I am always ending the show with a track by a queer icon. And this week I've picked Sinead O'Connor. This is The Emperor's New Clothes. Ka kite.
Said it was dangerous after Sunday, and
The podcast you just listened to was a live recording of a radio show, first broadcast on Fresh FM, with support from New Zealand On Air. Fresh FM is a community access media station based in Te Tauihu, the top of the South Island, New Zealand. The funding of Access Media makes these podcasts possible. To find similar programs by other community access media stations, go online to accessmedia.nz. If you or your group would like to know more about how you can have a program on our station, please contact us. Visit our website, freshfm.net, for our contact details.